He's the God of righteousness. But after man's fall, we cannot fulfill his economy because we are not the same as he is. We have a fallen nature. And there's no way for God to give himself for us because we are sinners. But God, he sent his beloved son, the only son, the Lord Jesus, went down on earth, went through the process, died on our behalf, resurrected, ascending, and became a life-giving spirit. So he became the life we need. Amen. That's the life of Christ.
Amen.
But God's righteousness and God and Christ's life is not enough for his economy. We need a third one. The faith of believers is our faith.
Amen.
Because we can only receive this divine life in our faith. So God needs our cooperation. God needs us to receive the divine life he already prepared for us in our faith. So in these three terms, God's righteousness, Christ's life, and faith of believers can fulfill God's economy. That's
Amen.
Really a really encouraged word to me.
Amen.
So whenever we believe into Christ, it became our righteousness, which qualifying us, which signifying the best robe, so that we can enjoy the fattened calf with himself. We can enjoy the life-giving spirit, and eventually we will be made like him in nature and life. That's Roman numeral 2. In Roman numeral 3, we talked about after God's appearing, when God appears to Abraham, or God appeared to someone, then spontaneously he will consecrate himself to the Lord. And you don't need to like tell him what to do. You don't need to tell him you should do this, you should do that. After a person received God's appearing, he will spontaneously consecrate himself to the Lord. So that's why in Genesis, whenever God appeared to Abraham, right away he built an altar.
Right.
Right? The altar signified consecration. So consecration is everything we have, everything we like, we love, everything we are, we just give it all to the Lord. Everything we have, everything we are, belongs to the Lord. So point A, God's appearing and transfusing issue in our consecration and causing us to build an altar, leaving a tent and live totally for God.
Amen.
And so point B is a definition for altar. So altar is for worshiping God by offering all that we are, all that we have to God for his purpose. And building an altar means that our life is for God. Our life and the meaning of our life is for God.
Amen.
And point C is the definition of building a living dwelling in a tent. Testify that Abraham did not belong to the world, and also we are not belong to the world, but live in the life of a sojourner on the earth, sojourning by faith as in a foreign land. And also here, another point I really enjoy is Abraham is a first Hebrew, and Hebrew means that river crosser.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He crossed a river. And I'm so encouraged that we also need to cross a river, cross ourselves, our flesh, into the spirit, into the good land, which is all-inclusive Christ. And I can share a little bit about my testimony this week. When I informed to speak this week, actually my first reaction was probably not, because when you see this message, very long, and actually it's a conclusion word of this morning revival.
Yes,
it was more difficult, and my first reaction is from my flesh is, Lord, no, maybe ask another brother to open in a word or conclusion a word. I'm not able to do that, but the Lord just remind me another testimony from Brother D. a few weeks ago, I enjoy his sharing that even though he has only 3 hours to prepare, he answered the call from the Lord.
Amen.
That to speak for the Lord. And I have even more hours to prepare, and there's no reason for me to, you know, just say no. And also the Lord reminds me that, yes, I'm not able to speak. I'm not able to minister Christ to others. It's Lord himself, he's able to speak. He's able to minister himself to others. He is a real shepherd. And only The only thing I can do, I just cooperate with the Lord. We are just His vessel. We are His just channels. And we minister Christ on His behalf. He's the real one that really speaks to others. So Lord, I also need to be the river crosser.
Amen.
Cross from my flesh, my weakness, into the Lord, into the life-giving Spirit, the good land. And actually, He also reminds me that if I don't apply all these things in my daily life or in my Christian walk, and all these principles, they are good, but they are just outside of me. They are just doctrine, right? They're just a truth. They are not the reality. So whenever there's opportunity for us to cross a river, it just reminds me we need to be like Abraham. He didn't even know where to go when he crossed the river, right? He just simply trusted in the Lord. Let's follow the Lord, enter into a good land. So whenever we have the chance, we just answer the Lord's calling, cross the river, deny ourselves, and we just simply believe into Him. Yeah, that's Romans 3. I speak too much. So let's come to Romans 4, the conclusion of week 8. So he says, to live by faith as Abraham did is to cooperate with Christ in His heavenly ministry, and not only by living a life for the altar of the tent, but also by fighting for brothers. I'm so encouraged at this also, because you know, there's a story in Genesis that there's some fighting or some conflict between Abraham and his brother Lot, and eventually Lot moved his tent to Sodom, which is evil and sinful in Jehovah's eyes. But point D, really, I really touched by point D. It says that Abraham did not count the weak point of his brother. He did not take pleasure in Lot's suffering and calamity. As far as Abraham was concerned, it was a shame for him to see that his brother had been captured.
Right.
Isn't it wonderful? And when Abraham received the information about Lot's capture, he right away made a strong decision to fight for Lot, fight for his brother. And he prayed, lifting up his hand to Jehovah, God the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. He right away fought for his brother. And we need to have this kind of same attitude, fight for our fellow believers in Christ.
Amen.
You know what? Because Lord fulfills his will not by many individual spiritual giant. It's by a corporate bride. It's a corporate matter. So it doesn't matter how we achieve a success in our Christian walk. It's all the matter about all of us become mature, become the same like the Lord. So that's the time when He comes back. So we need to have this kind of spirit, shepherd others according to the Lord,
right.
Take care of others according to the Lord. So point 7, in shepherding people, you must also feed them with the all-inclusive Christ, His full ministry of three stages, incarnation, inclusion, and intensification. In order to nourish people with Christ, we first have to see Christ, gain Christ, and enjoy Christ, and participate in Christ. So overall, I really got encouraged in this message. First, we need to seek the Lord. We need to pray for His appearing every day, so that He had a chance to infuse Himself into us, and we'll be saturated with Christ. And then we fight for our brothers.
Amen.
We minister what we enjoy. We minister while the Lord appeared to us, to brother. So all of us can move on in our Christian walk, and the Lord's will can be fulfilled, and He will come back. So I think I'll stop here and open the time for the saints. Probably the saints can start with 3 minutes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you for our brother for the opening. Yeah, thank you. Amen. So I'm going to be just a very some basic, so bear with me if you think it's too basic. Okay, so I just want to, we look back this Abraham. First of all, was Abraham born in a good land?
No.
Okay, good. So, yeah, he was brought out of his homeland. Okay. So if you think, oh, I was brought up our homeland to this land, you know, we are at Abraham, okay? So, yeah. But by the way, the United States was established for the people. They were migrated, right? They were not, most of them, 99% were not a native here. Okay. So number one. Number two is, does Abraham got some family issues? Like, is he, like, normally married and then have a kid? Does anybody know the answer? Like a normal family, you know, you got married, you have a kid. Does Abraham, you know, he kind of have a normal family life setting?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody knows. And what's the problem? What his problem in the family life? So he did not have a son, right? Was he concerned? He was really bothered, right? And does God concern? God also concerned. So actually, God told Abraham, I will give you a seed. Promise him. But you know what Abraham did? And what his family did? Because they took God's promise. They work on it pretty hard. Did they succeed? Like, once God told them, you're going to have a son, then boom, they did it. They were just hallelujah. Does anybody know the answer? Or read the Bible? Right? So, no, actually, Abraham got a big failure. Because they tried to do it in their natural way, or we call, I don't know whether we can call it a flat way. So they made a mistake. Actually, they made more trouble.
Right.
Right? Because, you know, his wife suggested him, so he actually took his, like, you know, his wife's servant, named born a son, and then caused, you know, family issues. They finally have to drew that son out. Because, you know. So then, they were in a position, they were, like, in a disappeared position. They almost lose hope. God said that, and even God said that again, and his wife laughed. In the Bible, you know, record that, you know, when God told Abraham, you will have a son, and his wife laughed because they were too old. They thought it's impossible. They thought it was impossible. Okay? So now, but God's word is God's word. So just a year later, you know, Sarah born a son. They called Isaac. Okay? So, and then if you're counting, and another big thing is counting, you know, when we are parents to an age, we're going to all care about our children's marriage, right? I think a lot of parents will have that, right? And the Bible also counts, do you know how Abraham got his son get married? Do you remember this, a brief story? Right, he did a very special thing, right? He made a special arrangement. You can read the Bible. So that's very important. So his son's marriage, actually, you know, in general in our church, you know, all our next generation marriage, they are important. Yeah. And then, during all his life, can you recall a high point? I mean, by the way, Abraham has his failures. You know, it's recorded that. We don't have time to talk of detail, but you can read. Abraham does have his failures. He's from not only that one, he has other ones. But he has one high point, also related to his son. You know what he did? That was very, very hard. I can tell you. I don't. Yeah. So I don't know what you can experience. For me, you know, right now I'm a father, right? Sometimes if my children, you know, did some little bit of things, I can get very worried. For example, I don't know where she is or what. Well, how is she doing, right? I can get very worried. But Abraham had a great test. The God said, bring your son to a mountain to sacrifice for me. That was a great, great test. I don't know, I can do it. I really, sometimes I tell the Lord, if this test to me, I don't know whether I can do it.
Yes.
But Abraham trusted God so much, he did it. He did it. I don't know how he lived those days. He woke up in the morning, prepared the things, you know, took his son, then just went. Mm. Not only for several hours, maybe several days. That was a great test. And not only to him, it's to God's chosen race. And Abraham succeeded in this one. And also God rewarded him greatly. He said, because of you did this, your heir, and God promised that, the chosen race, we are all blessed by this chosen race. We are right now, we are sons and daughters of Abraham. So yeah, in terms of the measure of the faith, each one is going to be different. The quality will be the same. That's the encouraging thing. We may not be giant as Abraham, but God measures our portion. So may God bless us and bless our next generation. And when the Lord Jesus comes again, we can stand in glory with Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I enjoyed the title for this week. It says, Walking in the Steps of That Faith of Our Father Abraham. So this has very much to do with our application, right?
Yes.
The application to us today. Appreciate our brother Richard, you know, gave us a refresher of some of the Abraham's life story. But today, when we come to Abraham's story, it is good to really know what he has been through. But I think it's more important, which is why the story is in the Bible, is for all the believers. It's for the sons of Abraham, really to follow, right, the footsteps of Father Abraham, right? What he has gone through is actually a pattern for us, you know, the later believers to follow. So I was very much, into this message. I was very much, you know, captured by, you know, how Abraham actually made a turn, right? You know, he was actually living, I'm pretty sure I think in some of the Bible, right, you see he actually lived pretty comfortably, right, in his hometown, right? We all know with the place of Ur of Chaldee, right? I mean, that place was a place of idol worshiper, right? And it's, you know, if you study some of the histories, I mean, it's not just one god. There is like a multi-theism, right? Multiple gods. And for him to really just follow Jehovah, follow Yahweh, right? The one God. I mean, this is very, if you think about it, it's such a big turn, right? For someone that just follow. And he was just living there, and Jehovah appeared to him and called him out of the place. So he actually had just the decision itself, right? I think, you know, the whole thing about the faith is one thing. But the whole thing of he's willing to make that decision to follow which the God appeared to him, right? To follow the instruction. You know, that is really something that was tested later by his, you know, offering Isaac, right? You know, someone that he really beloved, you know, he gotten in his old age, right? So I think these are the things that so I was very much touched by the decision at that point. You know, imagine we were at that point. Would you make that decision? Right? We were like very comfortably living in one place. You know, we have, you know, a life is set, right? He has a beautiful wife, right? He has a family, you know, as his father, right? The whole family, they moved from, you know, the place where, you know, today's southern Iraq, right? All the way up to, you know, at that time, you know, Israel, that place is not very developed. It's almost like a desert, right? I mean, even today, if you go there, most of the places are like a desert. So it's not a very good place. So I really, I really got touched by this point. You know, today when we follow the footsteps of Abraham, we have actually in our daily living, right? We have a lot of decisions to make. Do we follow the Lord, or we're just going with the tide, right? The world today is such a, I don't know. I mean, it's a, I would say it's a huge magnet, right? Right. The world is the system itself. So many things. I mean, I'm not talking about the bad things, and we will quickly see, oh, okay, that's like a, you know, degraded, right? But certainly there are things that are good, right? Seemingly, you know, I mean, pursuing for our career, pursuing for, you know, the intellectuals, right? You know, I think we have students here, you know. I mean, all of these things may not sound bad, but behind, they're a different realm. These are not something belong to God, right? When we say idols, it's not just the physical idols. I mean, today the idols can be anything, anything that captures our heart. So we really need to pray, oh Lord, appear to me, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the appearance of God, I was also considering, what is really the appearance? How God really appeared? Now, of course, at that time, God spoke to Abraham directly, right? So you see, actually, there is also a principle here. The God's appearance is always associated with His speaking.
Right.
Right? He's just not, I mean, He's not just here, say, smile at us and say bye, right? I mean, He always appears to us through His speaking.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Today we have so much speaking,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
In this recovery. So we really need to pay our attention, right? Really anoint our ears that we can hear. So even the, right, in the Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride will say, whoever has an ear to hear, right? Hear, you know? So it is so important that we actually hear the speaking. We love what God has speaking through the ministry.
Amen.
And then, when we touched the speaking, that is God's appearing.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Sometimes it could be as small as like just in a home meeting, we touch His speaking. But sometimes it could also be in our personal conversation with the Lord, right? He touched us, right?
Amen.
In some of the big conferences, you know, He touched us.
Amen.
So anyways, I just feel like, you know, we need to follow these footsteps. There are so much, you know, we can talk about following the steps of Abraham.
Yes.
Right? I just want to touch these points. Amen.
I have been recently hearing a lot and also considering a lot the kind of very interesting relationship we have with the Lord, as illustrated by verses like Galatians 2:20. Because on one hand, we're nothing. We can't do anything. I think David brought this up. We have no ability to offer anything of value to the Lord.
Yes.
Yet, on the other hand, God can't do anything if we're not available and useful as vessels to Him. So it's like this really weird, like, who's living? Is it the Lord living, or is it we living? It's neither us alone, nor is it just God Himself just doing everything. Because if he wanted to do anything, He'd just speak it into being. Why does He need us? Because He needs us for His purpose. He needs man for His to carry out His economy.
Amen.
And with that in view, I was sitting here as I was listening to everyone speaking, rereading Genesis 12:7-8 again, and this wonderful sequence that kind of sums up a lot of this week's portion.
Yes.
It starts with Jehovah's appearing.
Amen.
And His appearing, as Brother Mijim mentioned, is pretty much always connected with His speaking.
Yes.
And not just any speaking, it's a promise. Like,
Amen.
He says, this will happen. Do you believe it or not? And Abraham, he has a choice. Do I want to follow? And many times he did not always respond right away. Like, we think Abraham, he is the father of faith, but he had many failures. Even when he was appeared to in his homeland, he actually had to be appeared to multiple times. And even his dad had to die to make him take a further step.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord had to do a lot. So on one hand, the Lord had to appear to him so many times, but that doesn't mean that Abraham followed right away. So that gives us a lot of encouragement to see that if I disobey God speaking, I'm through. Like, no, Abraham failed many times. Almost all of the faithful ones in the Bible have their failures. But the point is they kept receiving the Lord's appearing going
yes.
forward.
Amen, amen.
So after the Lord spoke or appeared, which is connected to His speaking, the spontaneous result was that right away it says that he built an altar to Jehovah, who had appeared to him. And from there he pitched his tent. So it just kind of connects all of these points in this week. It just shows that consecration, our offering of ourselves to the Lord, it sounds impossible. How could I possibly give up the things that I love? Only by the Lord's appearing
right.
again and again is that possible.
Right.
But then there's the other side, which is, if the Lord really appeared to me, there should be a living a reality that matches that
Amen.
I hear. So on one hand, we're not just trying to outwardly live the life of the altar in the tent, because you can't, no one can do that. I've tried many times without the Lord's appearing. It's bondage. It's a horrible experience. But when the Lord appears to me again and again, it's not that hard. I mean, it's not easy, but it's not as hard to drop various things. And then the other section about entering into the Lord's heavenly ministry. I love this part. Once again, you see that it seems like Abraham, he just heard about the situation with Lot, and he just made it. It says he made a decision. He prayed, made a decision, and he went to fight. It seems like Abraham did everything. But then we later see, actually, there was somebody behind the scenes interceding for him. Melchizedek, who is a type of Christ. So it just shows that even in this matter, it's neither just us, neither is it just the Lord himself. Because when through the Lord's intercession, that was how that one of the men was able to escape, even inform him of it. And how could Abraham defeat all those kings with only 318 people? It had to have been somebody was standing with him, praying for him the whole time.
Amen.
So anyways, I just really love that. On one hand, we trust that the Lord, actually no, we know that the Lord has already prepared everything for us. He has all these wonderful promises given to us. And that's his appearing. The more we hear these things, the more the Lord is appearing to us right now. But on the other hand, we still need to receive it, and we still need to accept it by faith. And by this faith, we are now enabled to live such a life.
Yes.
Because this is our destiny as sons of Abraham, to follow in the footsteps of our father, Abraham.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I go with Jerry, because without God's appearing, we cannot do. Appearing, come to the Genesis 10 times. The first one is talking about that land appearing from the dead water. That's the first chapter. Then the last Genesis 48 talk about the appearing. Jehovah appearing to all the children. Then 10 times, 8 times appearing this world. Appearing to Abraham's family. 4 times, Abraham. And 2 times, Isaac. 2 times, Israel. So the family enjoyed the Bible. Genesis talk about the 10 times, 8 times experience to God appear to their family. Encourage them. That's the crucial point. You think it's easy? Get out from the hometown. Oh, we know here, we leave our hometown, come here. In our real estate, we check the property. In the Iraq, when they, Desert Storm, they check the property value. That's a huge house in the Caledon. The hometown that built that house, even the servant have 100 rooms. You know how big, he's a very rich man in the county, the hometown, the living in the idol place. He was very rich. But when he see the God appearing, he gave up everything. He just followed. He just followed, come to he going to the good land. He doesn't know where, at that time, no GPS. You don't know where you're going. And you leave the property. That's for real estate. That's too stupid. You leave the big house, then rich, all the riches, then you live in the tent. Oh, brother, sister, you leave big house, then you go to live in the tent, then you don't know where you're going. You need water, you need food. And he still have his life symptoms. He always bring the altar. He consecrated his, what he got. If we live with all the merchant. We're in the hometown. We just carry the $200 come to the United States. You got to watch how much you use the money. He come out, he doesn't have too much, but he still consecrated his everything to the God. What kind of faith? You don't know how many days you will reach the good land. You don't know what do you have, right? You have just a little animal. Oh, he still have the burden. Brother and sister, when we broke, we don't want to go to the offering box. But Abraham, he still, you know, he just have a little bit. He still wanted to consecrate himself. Amen.
Amen.
Then he said, "Alas, the third thing, he fight for his brother." Even our brother Ruth was naturally it's very bad. You don't. It's not worthy. But he still fight for his brother. Amen.
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 I enjoyed the speaking on day 6 regarding shepherding and feeding my sheep, and very much realizing how much that the saints have poured out on me when I was in college and now, how much cherishing and nourishing there is. So a few points that I want to pull out. It mentions here, when we visit people, we must have the Lord's presence. His presence is a charming factor, and that presence comes from the cross plus resurrection. We must be a person on the cross and in resurrection. So this is not when we meet others, the charming factor is not our self or our capability or we think that we're nice people, but that we must be people on the cross and in resurrection. And then section here, which is very sweet. In Ephesians 5, Paul speaks about Christ's care for the church by these two things, cherishing and nourishing. Cherishing without nourishing is in vain. After cherishing a child, the mother nourishes him with food. This is the way that Christ, as the head, takes care of his body, the church. He nourishes us after cherishing us.
Amen.
The cherishing aspect is to make others feel pleasant and comfortable. I think often I might focus on this aspect of being happy, rejoicing, being cheerful. But the Lord asks us to go on further, to nourish them. So to nourish people is to feed them with the all-inclusive Christ in his full ministry in three stages. We need to find a way to present the all-inclusive Christ to everyone. We have to cook the all-inclusive Christ. In order for us to do so, we need to see Christ, experience Christ, gain Christ, enjoy Christ, and participate in Christ. So enjoying these two aspects of cherishing and then also learning how to nourish others so that when we're done being with the students or with the young people or with gospel friends, etc., they won't just be cared for in their soul, but that they would have a little bit of Christ added to them as well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, this week I was enjoying, you know, we see that Abraham is considered the father of faith. But in my reading, I don't think he had any faith at all. And God had to continue to appear to him again and again. And that Abraham's life is really our life. You know, God called him out of Chaldea, a place of demons. And he didn't just come out, say, "Okay, Lord, hallelujah, I'm going." No, you know, his father had to come, and he, you know, there was a big, long journey. He had to cross the river, he had to, you know, like Brother, you know, Richard was saying, all these things, he had many failures. But even after all of the failures, you know, God continued to appear to him. And in each appearance, he received more infusion of the Lord. And eventually, you know, we can see that God began with the Adamic race, and that Adamic race failed him. And he went to another race, which was the Abrahamic race. And the Abrahamic race were the children of the Jews. They were the earthly children of Abraham. So God, they failed him also, and he had to go to the heavenly seed of Abraham, which are the believers in Christ.
Amen.
And they also, we have also failed, you know, the Lord. So the Lord has to come to another race, is the race of the overcomers. Here, the last message makes reference to the satanic chaos, you know, and, you know, messages 3 and 4, which I, you know, enjoys, and the, you know, the brother goes over all the different groups of overcomers, that eventually we need to aspire to be of the race of the overcomers, not just settle for, you know, Abraham. And, you know, this was all the beginning, and our life is a journey. You know, Abraham had a journey. Of course, back in the day, they lived hundreds of years, you know. It's not like us. Our time is a little more limited, you know. And so in that journey, we really need to follow, yes, Abraham's journey, but we need to appear, you know, let the Lord appear to us. How does he appear to us? We have to go to him, right? And he appears to us. And in many of our experiences, it's like Abraham. He said he waited for the city which has the foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Yeah. There's another city, and that city is the city that we aspire. It's not a city, it's a city that is built by God, the New Jerusalem. And so we need to overcome all situations, but in Christ. And, you know, I really have to say that, you know, this morning I sat here and I saw Brother Tristan, you know, take the bread and drink the cup. And then I said to myself, you know, I never noticed. You know, I said, oh my, you know, this is, I wonder if he knows if he's supposed to take the bread and the cup. You know, I said to myself, oh, maybe he just saw everybody do it and then maybe he just did it too. And I, you know, I said, but anyway, you know, then of course, you know, you realize, I saw there was a change in Brother Tristan. But I didn't know what it was until, you know, we said, and I have to, you know, thank all the saints for their love, for their, you know, giving to us and our family during this time. And I, one specific thing, you know, I saw Brother Tristan come to my house and pick up my husband and take him, you know, here's Brother Tristan, and, you know, and he just, and he just thinks, you know, Tom is like, you know, he's like a skeleton right now, and then Brother Tristan comes, and he just, you know, sort of like, oh, you know, where's to pick him up and put him in the car. And I was so touched by that.
Amen.
You know, I was so ministered. I was so ministered from the Lord. It was such a shepherding to me to see a young man, you know, do this. You know, I just couldn't believe it, you know. And I said, only a child of God. And I told Brother Joel, oh, you know, yeah, Brother Tristan came. Oh, Brother Tristan, he's a good boy, you know. I said, he's a child of God. And I just really considered, you know, all of the saints that have come to our house who have really, it doesn't take much. You know, we really think that we have to, you know, be super, super spiritual.
Right.
You know, the life of God, the life of Christ was a life of ministering according to the need. You know, think about our Lord Jesus when he was on the earth. He just, you know, he said, follow me. And they dropped everything and they left. It was just his person, his humanity, the humanity of Jesus. And we see the journey of Abraham was actually like a different kind of humanity that went through all the stages, right? He suffered, he had failures, and ultimately what matters is, you know, and Galatians tells us that a new creation is what matters, right? There's no circumcision or uncircumcision. You know, a new creation is what matters.
Right.
And so I really do enjoy the humanity. I have seen the humanity of Jesus, which has captured me once again, because I have to confess that there are times that I just kind of lost my faith. But we lose our faith because we're on the earthly, in the earthly realm. We're still the descendants of Abraham in the earthly realms, which are the Jews. I live in Jew country. I live in Highland Park, where there are all Jewish people. They walk around. And this week, this past week, it was, what is it? It was the New Year.
Yeah.
And the other one was Yom Kippur. And the New Year, they celebrate, and they did the whole 7 days, and they repent, and they have a 7 days to repent. And then on Yom Kippur, they, you know, there's the Day of Atonement, and then they forgive, you know, they confess their sins, and then they have a big fast. And so, but the descendants of Abraham, according to the heavenly, you know, heavenly realm, is just a beautiful thing. And I just really considered Abraham's journey. It is ours. It truly is ours.
Amen.
Yeah, I enjoy Sam's sharing, especially in 2 points that this week touched me. First one is, we do need Lord's appearing. If we don't have Lord's appearing, there's no way we can get faith, or we can gain faith, right? Think about Abraham's story. We have been mentioned this many times. By chance, I re-listened the Genesis while I'm driving to my work. In chapter 17, let me ask a small question. Do you know at what age Abraham begot Isaac? 99, right? But at which what age he begotten Ishmael? 86. We know there are a gap about 13 years that God haven't appeared to Abraham just because his failure. So that we know how much important that we have to have the God's appearing so that we can really, you know, move forward. And loss of the God's appearing is so sad. And the second point I'm very enjoyed this week is, I think God is very, very sovereign. We all have to admit that, about that. Why I say that? Because, from the very beginning, when God called Abraham out of the father of his house, he didn't ask Abraham to bring out Lot with him. He just asked Abraham himself. But for some reason, he bring Lot with him, right? But, I believe this is from the life study. Although, you know, Abraham bring Lot with him, and you know, there are further long story about Lot's story. And God still can use this case to fulfill his economy. Why do I say that? Because if we read, there are two genealogies in Bible. One is in Matthew, one is in Luke. If you look at, there are two very, very crucial ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ. One is Rahab. One is, the other one is, the Boaz mother, Ruth. If you look at the origin of those two ancestors, they are kind of sort of related with Lot.
Right.
Right? So God can use all this, you know, this is a thousand year gap. He can still use all this, even the failure from Abraham to fulfill his economy. So I feel like, wow. I have never appreciated the genealogy of Matthew this much. Previously, I was thinking, oh, this is all me. But when you really get into it, and you will appreciate, wow, this is all the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
And think about that. Rahab and Ruth, they are just us. Right, the Gentiles, or even the, I don't know, we call them even the worst background, right, than us. But God, they are the great ancestor of our Lord Jesus. So, I really appreciate, this word, that today we are the seed of Abraham in the spiritual realm. So, when we have the Lord's appearing, we really gain this faith, and we really will, you know, according to God's economy, according to his sovereignty, we will become as perfect as he is. That's what he promised, right? So I think this week's message really encouraged me to turn to the Lord more, to gain his appearing, so that this word can really solidify in me, to be, you know, to substance into me as my experience.
Amen.
There's a chosen song we all remember probably. What is that? Father Abraham, right? With a lot of actions. Many sons. You are one, I'm two. Amen. As believers in Christ, we are the corporate seed of Abraham, repeating the history of Abraham. As the sons of Abraham, the corporate seed of Abraham, we must walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. It seems like to me, I have no choice. I have to walk this way. No matter how many failures I have, but I still need to follow. This week, I had lots of experience on failures. But praise the Lord, I'm still here and to receive his speaking and seeking for his appearing. On Friday night, I received a message asked for apologize and also forgiving because of some reactions to one of our services. So I was so much bothered, not because of her text, but the whole thing. Because a few days ago, I know like the man escaped from, you know, escaped to tell Abraham, you know, Lot's story, was captured. So I know what's going on, but I don't know, Lord, what should I do and how shall I move on? Should I escape from the service or not because of this and that? That whole night, I almost cannot sleep. I barely sleep. So I seek the Lord. I ask him, Lord, what's your calling? What's your, burden to me? I searched the ministry work like what about those sisters about 50 years old in the church life, how they serve and how they live their life in the church life. I got no clue, and it's early in the morning. The first thing I asked my husband, but he helped me in some way. So I just feel like it's so easy, like day two says, for us to lose the vision of God's calling. Even if those spiritual things can blur our vision. Right there, I'm just totally blurred. I don't know, is this my vision? I know it used to be, but it seems not anymore. I'm just bothered by my own feelings, my emotion. But if we do not live continually in God's appearing, it will be easy for us to lose the vision of our calling. And just like Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling.
Amen.
I just feel like, Lord, do I have that hope? But the Lord is very merciful and graceful. So my husband just remind me, you have to stand up and fight. Amen. So then I just come to day five, says to live there by faith as Abraham did. It is to cooperate with Christ in his heavenly ministry, not only by living a life of altar and the tent, but also fighting for the brothers.
Amen.
For the brother. So Abraham did not count the weak point of his brother and did not take pleasure in Lot's suffering.
Amen.
I was thinking, you know, yes, Lord, how should I stand up and fight like Abraham? When Abraham received the information that Lot captured, he made a strong decision to fight for Lot, and he prayed, lifting up his hands to Jehovah. I know, but the Lord grant me mercy. I went to visit this sister and didn't get a chance to talk to her, but I pray for her and also for me myself. I know the Melchizedek is there, our Christ, waiting for us. And in fact, he has been praying, interceding for all of us, for those who are under our care and ourselves, to save us to the uttermost. He will have a big supply to us, and he has already prepared for that. So it's so easy for us to flee away, to be blurred. So we need to always come back through the Word of God, through the fellowship, through seeking, which it says eternal seeking, right? The Lord's calling. And thanks for the body members. We can move on together.
Amen.
2 years ago, when we first came to the U.S. for my study, I really enjoyed Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, being called, obeyed to go out into a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And it was exactly our experience at that time. So because it was during the pandemic, and the situation was quite bad in the U.S. at that time, but in Vietnam it was still a very safe place. So we felt like we went, but we didn't know where we were going. And now, 2 years later, when we read about Abraham's stories again, I am encouraged by another aspect. That is, we would walk in the steps of Abraham's faith, and we must be those who live the life of the altar and the tent.
Amen.
To live the life of the altar means that to worship God by offering all that we are and have to God for His purpose.
Amen.
So it is so true for me as a student, because now I do not work. I cannot actively earn my living. I cannot control my income like when I did when I was in Vietnam. Yeah, but now I experienced that all the money is from God through Rutgers, and everything that I receive from him must be sent back to him, put on the altar.
Amen.
And also, I enjoy the aspect of dwelling in a tent. It is so true for our family. We are not only surgeons on earth, but we are also surgeons in America. So we are double surgeoners. But we are surgeons here on earth and in this country. We are not surgeoners in the church life.
We do not just
temporarily come here and just show up in the Lord's table meetings. When we come here, we want to be lively members in the body here.
Amen.
We want to build up the altar together with the saints.
Amen.
So, when I got the offer from Rutgers in April, we have been praying about housing, and we have been praying that we would open our house for the meetings. And praise the Lord that he helped us keep that promise.
Amen.
On Friday, we had the very first meeting, our very first home meeting in our place.
Amen.
And we're so excited.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know how about the other PhD students. You know, in summer, we went back to Vietnam, and when we returned to America, in our luggage, we had a lot of kitchen utensils because we've been praying about opening our house because we really want to cook for the saints.
Amen.
So we brought with us a lot of chopsticks and spoons and even the infusers to cook for the saints. Yeah, and also, you know, we would need a lot of things. And then the Lord brought so many things to us through so many people. Like my friends at college, they suddenly gave me a very big pot because I said I wanted to cook for a little big pot that they just gave us. I didn't ask, but they gave us. And then the sister brought a lot of the dining sets. It's like the Lord is reminding me, hey, how about keeping your promise?
Amen.
And then Sister Esther asked me, did you say that you want to cook for? I said, yes, I really want to invite more people, but I don't have a big dining table and I don't have enough chairs. Then Sister Esther, Brother Shepherd said, hey, we have extra table. Then they brought the table to us. Praise the Lord. We really love opening our house. We really love building up the altar together.
Amen.
With the saints here.
Amen.
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 Now in the good land, raucous tempers. Hallelujah.
I really enjoyed this week's portion. You know, just every single part of the message.
Mm-hmm.
You see in the first part that we're the seed of Abraham, right? We have the right to enjoy God, right? We have the right to receive this blessing because we are in Christ, right? Christ is the seed of Abraham, and because we're in Christ, we are the seed of Abraham. That means that this blessing that was promised to Abraham's seed is actually for us. Right? We can enjoy God. So because we're in Christ, God can come to us, right? Even as the Spirit, He can give Himself to us. He can appear to us. Oh, how we need God's appearing. Right? We need God's appearing every day to strengthen us.
Amen.
This life that Abraham lived is really a life of faith. Right, and in this message we see that it's the life of the altar and the tent. Right, when God appears to us, we can't help but to live to Him. Right, if we have God's appearing, our self decreases. My prayer was, you know, I want to be one just who loves the Lord.
Amen.
Whom the Lord could appear to.
Amen.
And God's appearing, there's the transfusing. Right, more of His element is added into us.
Amen.
Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart.
Yes.
For they shall see God.
Amen.
So if we're loving the Lord, pursuing Him, Amen. Even praying for His appearing, surely we will have it.
Amen.
Surely the Lord will come to us.
Amen.
So the part that I really enjoyed is that this walk of faith, really, it's in two parts. First, it's the life of the altar and the tent, right? And that shows us that we trust in God, right? And we consecrate our all to Him. And we're not tied to the earthly things. We're living for God and living for His purpose. But then the second part is what the Lord really impressed me with is that this living by faith is not only living by the altar and the tent, but also a life of fighting for the brother.
Amen. Amen.
Right. So if we're truly those who are living by faith, we should see these characteristics in our life. And this is seen in the life of Abraham. I think we know a lot of saints, a lot of people. Sometimes we may see them, and then for some reason they stop coming to the meeting, or they just don't really follow the Lord anymore. As believers, you know, there should be a feeling within us for these ones who may have gotten captured, right? And so, Abraham, what happened with Lot? You know, I really appreciated Abraham's attitude, because for me, you know, I would have just said, Lot, he went into Sodom, you know, leave him there. That's what he gets. Now he's captured. Right? He went into Sodom, now he's captured. But Abraham, no, he made a strong decision.
Amen.
And then I was reading the verses in Genesis. Seemingly, it looks like Abraham just received word and then he went out to fight. But actually, when you really read it, in verse 22, Abraham says, I have lifted up my hand. And I prayed. So that meant he prayed to the Lord. Right? Once he received that news, he went to the Lord. Surely after that is when he went to bring his men to fight for Lot. So it wasn't just he received the news and then he went to fight. No. Abraham prayed. Right? Abraham needed God's presence. And so, and for us, when we go to care for other people, to shepherd, to go visit a young person, right? You know, I have family. Every time I go to my family, I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need your presence. I cannot go, you cannot shepherd without the Lord's presence.
Amen.
And so, what the Lord is doing today is he's carrying out his shepherding work.
Amen.
Right? The heavenly ministry, Christ in his heavenly ministry with the apostolic ministry is in cooperation to shepherd his people, to save them to the othermost. And so God needs the interceders on the earth today. And but in our shepherding, we need the Lord's presence.
Amen.
The Lord's presence is our roadmap, right? The Lord's presence is actually what encourages us to go and to fight for people.
Amen.
And so, I don't know. There's a feeling within me. I think we really need to pray.
Yes.
Right? We need to go to the Lord. And as we go to the Lord surely would infuse us with faith, infuse us with burden. Amen. You know, for some who, you know, they're children of God. There should be a genuine concern about them. Right? Abraham, he didn't just leave Lot. Anyways, I really appreciated that, because in myself, I'm just, you know, you don't have a heart for other people. But really, when you know the Lord, when you spend time with the Lord gets infused into you. His burden gets infused into you. His love for others gets infused into you. And this is how we can cooperate with him in this heavenly ministry. The Lord is doing a lot right now on the throne. He's arranging the whole situation on the earth. Right? He's the center of God's administration. He's preparing everything for his return. But he still is carrying out his shepherding work.
Amen.
That has not stopped. And so may we be the ones who cooperate with him.
Yes.
Even to pay the price. I'll end off with this in John 10. The Lord always impresses me with this verse. The Lord says that he's the good shepherd. And then he compares, you know, to one who was a hireling, which means as a hired worker. It doesn't matter to that one concerning the sheep. But you see with Abraham, it mattered to him. Right? In the church life, we're not just, we don't clock in and clock out. Right? The Lord wants us to be one with him. He's the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. And so may the Lord have mercy on us and supply us with his presence. Give us the grace to minister Christ to others and to carry out his heavenly ministry on the earth.
Amen. Amen.
I just really appreciate all the sharing this morning. It was just so good. Like our brother shared, this is a hard message to end with because it encompasses so much. And actually, when we were coordinating, I had prepared, the three steps of the revival to bring the Lord back. But I just feel the Spirit wants to end with this note. And actually, I think this is what the saints are just bringing out. You know, it's very interesting that we conclude God's economy in faith with this matter of shepherding. You think about it, right? Such a high view, what God wants to do, the process that He went through, all the steps, and now we come to this matter of shepherding. You know, if you look at, and you're familiar with John, the Gospel of John, it kind of doesn't make sense why John chapter 21 is there. Because in John chapter 20, the Lord in resurrection, everything is accomplished, right? This was His purpose. God entering into man so that man could be brought into God. The divine human incorporation. We see it, the end result. And yet there's this, you could say, appendix, right? This addendum. And I just really feel that for the Lord to really return and for God's economy and faith to really be carried out in a practical way, there needs to be the shepherding. Weren't you touched? I just felt like all the sharing this morning. I feel I have been shepherded. And I feel we need more of the Lord's shepherding. Here it says, right, in Genesis that Abraham fought for the brother. It doesn't say the brothers, right? It's not plural. But there was someone very specific in the mind of God and His heart that eventually got passed down to Abraham. There was a cooperation, right? Man was cooperating with the interceding God to fight for the brother. And I feel like this morning, the Lord wants us all to fight for the brother. And I don't know, in you, in me, who that brother is, and of course this includes the sisters, right? I don't know, but the Lord is concerned for that brother or that sister. And so who will respond? And like it was mentioned, to first what? Intercede, to pray. And it's not because we're anything, but we see from Hebrews 7:25, He is able. I'm not able to do anything. I don't think any of us sitting in this room feel like we are qualified. But He is able. And He lives always to intercede for us. But He needs man. Jehovah needed Abraham, right, to have that glorious intercession, right, and that little correspondence. We don't have time to get into it. And you know, I just feel, again, you know, John 21 mirrors Abraham's experience in Genesis 13. Why? You know, after Abraham built his altar and his tent, you know what happened? He actually fell into Egypt, right, because of a famine. Same thing with John 21. the apostles, Peter, took the lead. After the Lord resurrected, what did he do? He went back to his old profession. He failed. He took the lead to fail. And so, anyways, this speaks to me. I think it speaks to all of us. We just feel, I'm just a failure, Lord. So many times, right? I just fail you. I leave my altar. I leave the tent. But isn't it wonderful that we have our shepherd to restore us, right? To bring us back to himself, to bring us back to our original altar and the tent. And in John 21, we see the Lord shepherding to restore Peter, right, back to his first love. And so I think all of us, we're the same, right? Actually, Abraham is not a giant of faith. The giant of faith is Jehovah, who appeared to him again and again. Just like Peter, Jehovah, God, the resurrected Christ, appeared to him at the seashore and called out to him, "Return, Peter, return." And I feel like all of us, we need to come to the Lord to return. Return back to Him. To spend time with Him. To allow Him to shepherd us. So that our soul, our love for the Lord can be recovered. And once that happens, you know what the Lord does? He tells us, "Well, Peter, you need to go. You need to go. You need to go shepherd my lambs. Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep." And then to feed them. This is what the Lord needs, right? All of us here today, as the church. So anyways, I just feel what a fitting way, right, to conclude God's economy and faith, right? The cooperation between us and the Lord's heavenly ministry, right? Not only to just care for ourselves, but the Lord, His heart is for all the believers, right? And it doesn't take much. I appreciate the saints brought out this morning. We're all like Peter. It really doesn't take much. We just need to come to the Lord first. Right, each and every morning throughout the day to be shepherded by Him, right? So that in return, we can, what? Shepherd and care for all of the others. Amen.
Amen.
Can I add a short testimony? So, 1986-87, I was living in Maui, married a dormitory. And that time, another two families also living there. So the brother Livingston came to shepherd us. So we started like a campus meeting. And brother Alex and sister Sunny living in Bush campus, they also have a home meeting start there. So that's the starting of the Ragas campus meeting in that those couple years. So after 35 years, through all these 35 years, after all these families move out from campus, we don't have any family have a campus meeting. So this Friday, when Brother Dad and Sister Burrow open their home as the first campus meeting, I was very touched. I think all these years since pray for this campus, and God has promised our prayer and brought by His authority arrangement brought Dad and the girl's family and moving to the Bush camp and moving to the Maui. So we again we can have a campus meeting in there. burden that we can never stop our prayer for the campus saints. No, some saints maybe came and start and then disappear and stop meeting with us. But we couldn't forget them and give up them because our Lord is interceding. Not only for us and for those backup the saints. So we just need to cooperate with the Lord and keep on praying for this campus, and the Lord will do what He wants to do on this campus.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have quick sharing. That day when on the home meeting, my parents in Vietnam, they were so excited and they kept checking, hey, has the saints come yet? Have you started a meeting yet? And then I called them, and then at that time in Vietnam, they were preparing for a baptism of a new believer.
Wow.
So wonderful.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you.
Amen.
You call the believers from all the nations.
Amen.
We are not belong to one nation.
Amen.
But we all belong to the race of Abraham.
Amen.
Help us to walk on the path of faith.
Amen.
Also help us to shepherd the brother and the sister.
Amen.
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 Right. Thank you for your speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you that you're the one appearing to us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we just want to follow the footsteps of Father Abraham.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, live a life of altar and a tent.
Amen.
Lord, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, allow you to have a way, Lord, on the earth, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, you are faithful.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, after the 2.5 years, the pandemic situation.
Amen.
Oh, we still have a breath.
Amen.
We still have a new beginning.
Amen.
We can preach the gospel in the ruckus again.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You see, everything is the end of all the things.
Amen.
Oh, right now we have a fervent love.
Amen.
Among ourselves.
Amen.
Oh, you know we love you.
Amen.
But you want us to feed the lamb.
Amen.
Shepherd the sheep.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for we give this gospel opportunity to you.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us to walk on this way of faith.
Amen.
And follow you our whole life.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, give us the burden. Oh, Lord, continue praying for the gospel.
Amen.
This campus. Lord, cooperate with you.
Amen.
Lord, the leading of altar.
Amen.
Lord, that your will be done on this campus.
Amen.
And in the community.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.